Greetings, fair gamers, to yet another long, long, long awaited episode of the Daily Days Podcast, the show that sees everything through the rosy tint of retro. Well, usually. This broadcast is a follow-up of sorts to one I did a few months ago regarding the odd conflict of interest between limited run games and popular video game podcast, Retronauts. Indeed, Retronauts' primary host and founder, Jeremy Parrish, works at Limited Run Games, which thus puts a skeptical light on everything he produces for his show. In other words, when he talks about a particular title, it's hard to know whether he's highlighting the game because it's good, interesting, or has historical relevance, or because the game is one Limited Run Games might sell someday, sometime in the future. So, the question remains, is Retronauts a sly and devious promotional outlet for Limited Run, whether consciously or not? That was my concern at the time, anyway, along with other subtle issues like whether Mr. Parrish would ever criticize the company on his show or let his guests and co-hosts do so. Because indeed, Limited Run ain't perfect, and after some requests to elaborate on this further, I'm going to expound on what just makes LRG, despite being loved by thousands, an iffy, dubious enterprise beyond that questionable connection with Retronauts. As I said in the last podcast, Limited Run Games, or LRG for short, began as a noble enterprise, releasing those digital gems as physical releases to please both fans eager to fill their shelves and opportunists looking for a quick investment. LRG's key mantra, of course, was preservation, as if it was doing the world a favor by sealing these titles into their respective silicon and plastic wrappers. And at first, the company probably was doing the art form a service. But as the profits grew, the company got bigger, more arrogant, and a bit more devious concerning what its true purpose was. Not so much to save any specific game from eternal digital purgatory, but to manipulate collectors into coughing up as much cash as possible for whatever the company had planned to hawk for that particular week. Indeed, even fans of the company have to admit that there is nothing rare about the Jak and Daxter series, a trilogy of games already printed in the millions on the PS2, or the NES and Game Boy Star Wars releases, titles that are readily available on eBay in their original vintage forms at attainable prices. But LRG was happy to sell these very common, quite ubiquitous, certainly not limited, titles again in its store at a significant markup. In other words, these re-releases are nothing more than glorified repros the company hopes you'll buy anyway, because Jak and Daxter is a really cool series, and that new Star Wars blister pack packaging sure is neat. The point is that the company now specializes in manipulation, capitalizing on that pervasive human fear of missing out, or FOMO for short. In the early days, buyers literally had to camp out on the LRG website every Friday morning to snag the new releases for the week. The games would sell out in minutes, and if you had to work or were otherwise detained with, you know, life responsibilities, well, tough. You missed out and the company didn't care. But as time went on, Limited Run got craftier. Why limit games to, say, 2,000 copies when it could sell tens of thousands of them while still claiming they're limited, rare, and potentially valuable? That's exactly what the company does now. Most titles usually have a month-long pre-order period with no limit on the quantity that can be purchased. What's more, big retail giants like Best Buy often sell the games in huge numbers. Yeah, the art's usually different for these brick-and-mortar stores, but even then, collectors can still buy those so-called exclusive slipcases straight through the LRG website. To further the point, the fine print for these pre-orders once said, "There is no limit on this item. Orders of 30 copies, or multiples of 30, will ship in factory-sealed case packs." I mean, wow, right? That second line about the orders of 30 copies has since been removed, but the reality hasn't. Limited Run Games is still spraying this stuff out like sawdust from a wood chipper, and usually in multiple forms. For example, Scott Pilgrim, great game that it is, actually got three versions recently. One basic vanilla release, a more mid-tier collector version, and an uber-expensive deluxe package. While some might like all of these options, if the true purpose was just to save Scott Pilgrim from digital extinction, then only the standard copy would suffice, right? There wouldn't be a need for anything more, certainly not an overwrought $140 edition. Now, some people, like Ian on Pat the NES Punk CU podcast, claim that Limited Run Games' titles are still limited because they're limited to a single print run. Forget that these runs potentially go into the hundreds of thousands, but even if this is the defense one makes, it's still not really true. The Shantae games, for instance, are constantly re-released for new consoles. Currently, LRG is reselling Shantae Risky's Revenge for the PS5. So yeah, if you hoped that PS4 version, which is completely compatible with the PS5, was going to be collectible somehow and valuable, well, good ol' LRG pretty much sabotaged you. But what gets me is the $80 collector's edition of the game. What does one get, you might ask, for his extra $50? Only some chintzy pins that probably cost $2 to manufacture, a soundtrack CD that probably costs, well, another dollar, a somewhat flimsy acrylic standee, and a keychain. Oh, yeah, and a steel book case that's dirt cheap to produce by itself anyway, which is why you see these everywhere now, for video games, Blu-rays, DVDs, CDs, and the like. So, worth that extra 50? Nope, but people will buy anyway, not necessarily out of sheer love for Shantae, although there are some of those, but because these folks have to have everything. The game Republic, if I'm saying that right, is another example. It was already released on the PS4 in physical form by another company. But who cares? Limited Run is publishing it itself now because, well, apparently that's what the company does. It publishes everything to death, whether new, old, already released, classic, or trash. So, why not release an anniversary edition of Republic that no one was asking for, but will surely by now, all because it's listed on the LRG website. Of course, LRG defenders will say the company is still providing a useful service. It makes a good product, right? Who cares if the games aren't truly limited? It's just an ordinary publisher now. Well, the first point is half true. The company is still technically providing a useful service, if one ignores the alleged reports that LRG now simply publishes games that were already planned to be released physically anyway. Some accounts even have the company forcing developers to grant it exclusive publishing rights, thereby limiting the developer's potential margins and preventing competitors like, say, Strictly Limited and East Asia Soft from publishing publishing their own versions. Limited run, indeed. As for the quality of these releases, yeah, sometimes they come with some cool swag and packaging if one is willing to pay the high price tags. But collectors should be annoyed by this, really. To perfect their collections, they now have to buy all these fancy editions that cost a small fortune. As for those who say the company's non-limited run philosophy is for the best anyway, well, this could be true, but only once LRG stops manipulating people into thinking these games are rarities with some kind of special inherent value. Until then, limited run games is guilty of something akin to false advertising, a pretense most casual collectors sadly won't notice. And as for the quality issue, the product might be decent, but the shipping isn't, with overpriced, flimsy packaging that often does little to protect the precious totem inside. And forcing the company to replace these damaged goods can be an ordeal. In fact, the company even demands buyers to accept some sort of shady shipping agreement before they can finish their orders. Games can also take months and months to arrive, even up to a year when delayed, the latter being surprisingly common. Worse, customer service is rarely helpful in the short term. Those suffering from lost or damaged items really have to remain vigilant over the course of weeks to receive their stuff. Oh, and LRG refuses refunds. All orders are final, per the fine print. Looks like I'm running out of time, so I'll let listeners investigate other LRG controversies on their own. Feel free to look up the Limited Run Games Astro City debacle, the Sam and Max censorship controversy, the Revenge of the Bird King deception, or the Streets of Rage 4, Outrage, from 2020. Or the fact that the company loves releasing a one-time-only release for, say, the Switch, only to then release it again anyway for, say, the PS4 a year later, or the PS5 in the case of Shantae, or any other console they deem convenient at the time. Indeed, if you get one thing out of this whole show, know that if a game appears on Limited Run Games, it may very well appear there again in the future, just on a different platform, or in some new deluxe, special edition, anniversary version, or whatever. Lastly, if you're really curious, go check out what people have to say about LRG on business watchdog websites like Trustpilot. These places often skew a bit heavily to the negative, if I'm being honest. Even I'm not totally an LRG hater. But these sites do reveal a certain perspective you probably aren't going to find anywhere else. Certainly not in the mainstream press, the LRG website itself, or even, probably sadly, Jeremy Parrish's Retronauts. As always, thanks for listening, everyone. I should close with the qualification that, if you like limited run games despite the controversies and disappointments, more power to you. Even I buy from the company when I'm absolutely forced to, as in the case with the recently released Castlevania collection. But my humble advice is to only shop there sparingly. The company only deserves so much support. At least until it starts showing some improvement on these many complaints. Anyway, I will try to be back with another show sooner than this last time. I know I've been away for 2 or 3 months now. Yep, in my absence, I've formed a huge backlog of things I want to talk about, from the new Arduboy FX Pocket Gadget to Arcade 1-Up's recently released Super Pac-Man Countercade to maybe, possibly, a new Great Gamers Quiz. So stay tuned. Hopefully, within the next month, I'll have at least one of those shows out for you all. Until next time, then, this is Mr. Picario signing off for now.